Appreciate you coming in this morning.
Thank you.
You know, we know that there's talk of a bond issue, and what happens so often is that word gets out there and people think we're at a done deal. So tell me, where are we as far as looking at, assessing, and maybe putting in action a bond issue for BISD?
Yes, sir. Good question. A lot of people do feel like there's a bond that has already been called, and that is not true. What we've had is a facility study done. Actually, a year ago this week, we had a strategic plan that was done. And in that strategic plan that had community members, faculty members, parents, and even some students, they suggested and requested that the district do a facility study. So what we did was that facility study based on the strategic plan. In that facility study, we looked at every facility in Bryan ISD, and they came back. We had an architect, PBK, out of Houston, and they looked at every facility in the district and really gave us about a 5-inch binder of everything in the district that needed repairs. They even ranked it in terms of a 1, 2, 3, 4, and a 5, which was 1, immediate needs, 2, and so forth. And then they just came back with it. And then from that facilities committee, they got together and said, if you could do something, what would you do? And in terms of facilities, they came back with 2 different options, if you will. One was to go in and create a new middle school. The other one was to build a new intermediate school and reconfigure the district's grade alignment.
Okay. So explain to me then difference between middle school and intermediate school a little bit.
The way we're configured currently, middle school would be grade 6 through 6 through 8. Mm-hmm. Intermediate schools would be grades 5 and 6. And then middle school would be grades 7 and 8.
Okay.
And so the committee was just, their suggestion, their number one suggestion was then to reconfigure the district to where our elementary schools would be either pre-K or kindergarten through 4th grade, and then have our 5th and 6th grade students in 2 intermediate schools, and then have 2 middle schools, 7 and 8, and then 9 through 12.
Okay. Logistically, how does that, I mean, that has to be a consideration, I'm sure.
It does. It's really not as difficult as you think as it would be. The way we have our 4 middle schools set up currently, capacity is relatively close. We do have more 5th and 6th grade students than we would have 7th and 8th. So in that facility study, there would be some additions to, say, a Davila or a Rayburn or an SFA or whatever. Excuse me. But it's not nearly as difficult as you would think. It's taking the same number of teachers, basically, the same students, and just redistributing them throughout the different buildings.
Now, one of the members of your board, I think, the other night said that you might have to then you would have to close a campus in one of these plans, and that's always a controversial situation.
Yes, and that, let me clarify that statement. When the facility study got together, we have looked at our zoning. And in Bryan ISD, currently, our zones are really outdated in terms of our elementary schools. We have several elementary schools that are truly, they're in portables, they're busting at the seams. We have some elementary schools we've got a couple empty classes. So the last time the elementary school zoning took place was a while, and it was done at that time, but rezoning and looking at where the students and the populations migrate and move needs to be looked at probably once every 2-3 years, and it's been a while.
Okay, well, really what people want to know out there is what kind of number are we looking at and when would the vote be on it?
Great, great question. The number right now, the committee came back with, there was 2. One of them was 132, mm-hmm. 132 million. The other one was about 142. What the next step is, and the next step would be then to come back with the facilities committee and say, all right, here is the package, the 2 packages you put together. Now, we're going to have to prioritize and say, okay, what can we live with? What can we not live with? What can we wait a few years on? Because that was a directive or a suggestion that they gave us in terms of what the wish list was. And we haven't whittled it down. And so the final number is not, we're not ready for that yet. But if there was a bond election, most likely we'd be looking at November.
Okay. One of the things that you also took action, the board took action on this week, was to pay in excess of $100,000 to have a group come in and study the idea of putting together some sort of a teacher enhancement as far as pay for some teachers. Tell me, first of all, how much we spending on this?
It's right at $100,000.
Okay. And the idea is basically to identify teachers who are in, I think you used the term tough schools, tough campuses.
Right.
And to enhance their pay or do something for them.
What that is, it's a differential pay method. It's from Battelle for Kids.
Mm-hmm.
And in this differential pay, what it is you are going to look and see where and what type of pay differential we can make for students, or for teachers in different schools. For example, if you have one that in a tough school, as a school, when I say tough, I mean academically challenging. Mm-hmm. When you look at that, then you say, we really want our best teachers at those campuses.
Mm-hmm.
But if I can make the same salary at a school that's not quite so academically challenging, then why would I want to move? And so the board gave us direction about a year ago to begin looking at a differential pay package. And so that's what this Battelle for Kids is actually going to do. And so what we actually want it to be is a situation where our best teachers can go and be where they want to be. If they choose to go to a school that's academically maybe challenging, they can go there. But this whole package will be generated basically by our teachers, because it'll be a teacher-generated focus groups. It'll be teacher-generated meetings to find out what they have to say. This is not a district-level mandate.
No matter what, though, you're going to make some teachers unhappy.
Absolutely. There's going to be some people that are frustrated by it,
right.
And that's why it's not going to be guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, there will be some people that will want to stay with that step system. There will be some people that will want to go into this differential pay package. But that's why we have the teachers are going to basically run the meeting. They're the ones that are going to talk to us about it.
I think by any measure, teacher turnover in the last couple of years has been high in Bryan. I'd like for you to give me your reasons why you think that's happening.
Sure. If you look at where our teacher turnover has been, it has been mainly at our schools who are academically challenging. We have three schools that have struggled, and if you look at those three schools, you will see that the number of turnover at those, the percentage of turnover at those schools has been extremely high.
What schools are those?
You're talking about Milam, Jones, Crockett. Those schools are campuses, Jones being one, that is has a very high turnover because they are staged through TEA in terms of low performance academically. So, excuse me, what you have is many of these teachers come in from college, and they are first, second, third year teachers who really don't have the experience that would be needed to teach inner city type children, and they get frustrated and then they leave. And so veteran teachers, again, the reason for the Battelle for Kids study was some of these veteran teachers who have the knowledge and have the base may want to travel over to or transfer over to some of those tougher schools, academically challenged, and make a little extra or make a little bit more than what they were before. And so I think that's a big part of our turnover when you look at those three schools.
In response to those three schools, those
sure.
troubled campuses, what did you put in place? And now here we are a year later or so. Where are we with that? Are you getting the results that you need?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Well, yes and no. Yes being that one of the things that we've put into place is a managed type curriculum. So what we've done now is we're monitoring the student progress much more closely. Is it where we need it to be? Absolutely not. We want them to do better. Are we getting growing gains? Absolutely. Are we getting better? Absolutely. But it just is, we've had some consultants and outside people come in and say, Bryan is a big ship that was off course for many years, and it's going to take a while to turn it around.
And what, so, when you say managed curriculum, explain to
yes,
me
sir.
What that means.
What that means is the managed curriculum is one where we kind of give you the guidelines in terms of what to teach and the time frame. How you teach it is not, you've got the autonomy to teach how you want to teach it, but you've got to kind of be on this track, because if you are behind on that scope and sequence, what's going to wind up happening? You're not going to get everything taught by the time that they take that test. Mm-hmm. So we kind of give them a timeline and some frameworks as to what when you need to have something taught to ensure that everybody's being taught the same about the same time period.
Dr. Tommy Wallace, Superintendent of Bryan Schools, joining us. In the past, Bryan had what was called a teacher advancement program. They had a master teacher on campus and mentor teachers that would help these younger teachers. That was a grant-funded program, so that money went away, and I guess that program went away. What did that do after that? That was about a five-year period, I guess. What did you see a marked difference?
What I saw in the TAP system was a system put in place in Bryan that was not systemic and not across the board in the district. So you had some TAP campuses and you had some non-TAP campuses. The TAP campuses and that program of TAP didn't really align, if you will, with the district's goals or the district mission or the district's direction. It was more like the tail wagging the dog. It was more just campus oriented without taking in consideration our mobility rate, which is very high, without taking in consideration the district population, and it was more focused solely on a campus. So when we would see academic challenges as a district, then we would come in and talk about these areas, but the TAP had their own mandates, and for us to keep that grant money and to do it as and to keep that money, we had to do exactly what they had to say, and we had to do it their way, and their way then kept it from us being aligned as a district.
Are there attributes in this that comes out of the Battelle study maybe that you would try to do then district-wide? Do you like the idea of there being a mentor teacher or a master teacher on every campus?
We do like that. In fact, we have actually implemented and the board approved that type of a program in Bryan now, which we call the Bryan Way, and it's where we put instructional coaches on our campuses. Now, the difference is we've had instructional coaches before. I've heard people say, well, we've done this before. The difference is now is that we take those instructional coaches in the core subjects. We put them on these campuses to help our principals, to help our assistant principals administration. They go in, observe, work with teachers, do model lessons with those teachers, whether it's from the beginning of the period or the end or the middle, wherever they're struggling. And then they follow up and they just coach them up. And we are seeing gains academically. I think part of it is because we've got some really great instructional coaches.
TEA obviously is monitoring you closely because they're not pleased with the performance on some of these campuses. You had some TEA officials in recently.
Yes.
What was the purpose of that and what was the outcome?
The purpose was because over this history of Bryan, we've not done well academically. That's not a hidden fact. People know that. But what's taken place is TEA has been here on more than one occasion. And so when they came in, basically what they said was, we're going to walk your schools. We're going to walk and talk to your employees. We're going to talk to administrators. We're going to talk to the different people. And we're going to find out and give you our findings. The findings were nothing that shocked anybody at Bryan. There were some things that were big pills to swallow for campus administrators. For example, they said we need a counseling systemic program put into Bryan ISD. If you remember back, I think I talked to you last year and we missed our accountability rating as a district basically because we didn't have enough kiddos on recommended plan. Mm-hmm. And he said there's not a systematic plan. And so basically the overall arching theme of the visit was Bryan ISD has got to continue to implement systems into the district so things can't fall through the cracks. An example, we were staged as a level 4 on lever codes. Now, what does that mean? Levers are basically data for kids who transfer for academics, making sure we put in all the right, correct data. We had no system in place. So this year, we put in a thing called campus monitoring visits. And so what principals do is bring their data to us, we double check it, and now we're going to drop that down from a 4 down to a 2 and hopefully next year down to a 0. And it's just because of the systems. And systems also create anxiety.
They do. Anytime you change anything. Before they left, they gave you their list, the report that they got.
They gave us some preliminary.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then when do you get a final report from them?
Well, you know, it's TEA.
Yep.
And so, as they said, it'll be, they said their report will be done within the next week or so, the auditors.
Right.
They said it's got to go through about 50 more sets of eyes before it gets to us. So we're hoping, and my request to them was, can we please try to have it by May so we can begin our planning and our preparation for the upcoming school year?
So people understand, the profile of the BISD, 71% economically disadvantaged, 62% at risk, 17% with limited English proficiency. That
yes,
about
sir.
The way your district looks?
Yes, sir.
The campuses that you say are in trouble right now, Milam, Jones, Crockett, those are tough schools. If the student population is part of the problem, that population continues to move through your district.
Correct.
Will that not be a problem at the next level and the next level? Because you've got two high schools that are not performing.
Absolutely.
And so that tells me that we got a problem there that will continue to probably get worse rather than better first.
Well, I don't think it's going to get worse. I think the systems we put in place are going to ensure that these kiddos are going to do well. One of the things that TEA talked about was our lack of systems in our bilingual education. And so what we've done now is we put the system in place to where a student in bilingual education or dual language, there are a certain amount of times, percentage-wise, that they're taught in English and in Spanish. Whereas before, what's taken place, it's just been kind of a calico of all over the place, depending on the school, depending upon the campus, depending on the grade level. It was kind of all over. Well, we have a new bilingual director who has got these systems now put in place. So I really think that it's not going to get worse before it gets better. I hope it doesn't. I think these systems are going to help our children. I think they're going to help our teachers. But you got to remember that the teachers at Milam, Jones, Crockett, our high schools across our district, they work hard. And they're very hard workers. They spend many hours. I drive the district when I go different places, and at 9 o'clock, I still have teachers working. So Bryan ISD has very committed people, but we also have to figure out professional development activities and strategies to give our teachers to ensure that they can reach these individuals who are bilingual LEP students and at-risk students.
I guess, and I'm not an education professional, but I think from a system, you mentioned calico, if you will, in just a minute ago. Does that not show that was a very troubled situation the way it was? I mean, you needed to fix it, but gosh, didn't somebody walk in and go, wait a minute, why are we teaching this way? Why are we doing this? Why is this system this way? We talked about the last time you were here that there were some data input problems, which
yes.
caused you to not have the scores. You know, how do we have something that is that basic going wrong and not being spotted by whoever's in charge of that?
Sure. I can't answer for previous. I cannot answer for now. And I can't go back. I can tell you what TEA said, and TEA said this has been going on for years. It'll be in the report, but now it's being monitored. What you have now is an administration that does monitor. And what we do now, this is just I'm just ending my third year. I'm getting to my third year. If you think or anybody else thinks that a system that's this large can be fixed this quickly, well, I'm sorry.
Well, I don't think anything in education can be fixed quickly. I really don't. I mean, I think it takes a while for that tennis ball to get through the snake. I really do.
But to answer your question, going back to it, is how did that happen? I don't know. I just know what every time we find something that's keeping us from moving forward, we address it immediately, report it to the board, report it to our administration, and put a system in place to make for sure that doesn't happen again.
What's the proper way for parents to let you know what their concerns are?
Call or email us. My email is on the website. Email us. Let us know what your concerns are. We have just sent a huge survey out. We had over 1,500, 1,600 people that did surveys. We have a tip line on our BISD app, phone app. It's not as good as probably that Stay With Bro thing you talked about.
Yeah, the
but,
Bro app, yeah.
But our app is, it has anything that you want to share with us. Those tips line, that tip line, or what we call Let's Talk. You can talk about anything that you think is doing well in Bryan. You can give us suggestions. You can tell us anything that you want. Those tips or Let's Talk line, what takes place then is it goes to us, and then we just forward those tips to the school board so they know what's going on. Very transparent. I mean, we've got nothing to hide. We're very happy with that system. Is it utilized as much as we would like? Absolutely not. I mean, in order for the district to get better, in order for us to move forward, then we have to have collaboration with the community. We have to have collaborations with business leaders. We have to have collaborations with the media. I mean, not just to ask the tough questions, which is your job, but also to celebrate the good things that are happening in Bryan. And there are many good things happening in Bryan.
Yeah, well, let's and I want to talk about that in just a minute. I want to go back to the battle for just a minute. Will there be preliminary reports that they will give you to the board? When will citizen input be a part of this program? I mean, obviously, you want to hear from the teachers, but the citizens are going to want to know how it's progressing.
Are you talking about the pay scale?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the complete system. We just adopted it. We have not even had our first. We've just had a meeting with them, a preliminary meeting, okay, to find out really what you're about, how this can help us. Because if you look, this is the kind of pay scale and system that Texas has been talking about is a systematic approach. I mean, all over Texas, listening to Patel for Kids, we're one of the first districts in Texas that are even really trying this. So it is something different, and it's something out there. It's something that's on the cutting edge, 21st century. We're trying to do the best we can with the resources that we have. So I don't know that answer yet because we haven't even had our first meeting.
Okay.
We just had it approved Monday night. We've contacted them to let them know that it was board approved, and we'll set that first meeting up relatively soon. But there will be reports continually to the school board because it's got to be a transparent process.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be questions that the board has, that people have, and as we report that out at the board, and then, of course, the media gets that report as well. That way, if there are questions, email us, go to our app, throw a question at us. We can get those questions answered.
Okay, sounds good. Well, and then finally, there are good things going on in this district. Is
there
some things you want to share with us?
Man, we just had a young man from Bryan High School that just was state champion in swimming. First time it's ever happened to have one individual be a state medalist, a state winner, and then he won the 100-meter butterfly and the 200-meter IM. I don't know what IM stands for, but if you've got a medal in the state meet, you're pretty darn good. Our TMEA kiddos, our singers, were recognized at the board the other day for being all-state choir members. We've just got a plethora of results from UIL, from all of our fine arts, from all of our choirs, our bands have just performed stellar this year. Very proud of that. Just this morning, before I came here, to show you the love of our staff, to show you the love of our kids, we have a teacher that's going through some tough times right now, and the kids got together and raised about that $2,000 to help her her time, and that'll be out there today, and so we're very proud of that. I mean, it's just a good district. People want to sometimes badmouth Bryan, but there's really... I have two kids in the district myself, and both of them are getting a fantastic education, and Bryan's just a good district. We look differently than maybe our neighbors. We have a different clientele than our neighbors, but we have good kids, and I would encourage anybody to they want to come visit the schools, I'll take them on a tour. I'll take you on a tour, Scott.
All right, there you go. Dr. Tommy Wallace in his third year as the superintendent at Bryan Schools. Thanks for the time this morning.
Thank you, Scott.
You bet. News Talk 1620 WTAW.